You straight up cuckooed that dude, bro. Oh my God.
You've got all your Charger gear on because
feeling fresh as hell.
Well, you guys better enjoy it.
Loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin Herbert.
On the move, and throws, and touchdown.
Do this together.
Players, coaches, staff, fans, together, we can create something truly special.
Stay tuned for some good content.
Well, sound the trumpets, folks. The Chargers blew out the Patriots. Barn burner in Foxborough. Welcome back, folks, to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wooldog. Sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
I know we're like in the thick of it and we're behind. Even a win like that, I'll take it all day long.
Let's not forget. Kyle the coach.
Oh, hey,
there he is.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I mean, we won.
We won, baby.
Who was the closest on the score prediction? 3-2?
You were damn close.
Yeah. Wrong team, but pretty close. And my reverse jinx worked.
I think I unjinxed it again.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well,
I have to keep it going now.
We'll see if we can keep the streak alive. But that's right, folks. We've got an episode to talk about. Lots of things going on. Lots of quotes. We've got a brisket abroad segment. Did you guys see the brisket broad sitting in the end zone watching the game?
They were on the broadcast for sure.
Multiple
times.
There
was like 12 people in the stadium, and they were two of them.
Yeah. The last remaining. Last women standing.
Don't give me crap about the Chargers stadium.
People in the stadium.
At least it's full. I know it's half and half team fans, but it's full.
Boston quitters over there.
That was good. Well, we've also got an Ask Bolt fam lined up for you. So let's start off here at the top talking about this game. What a game. Chargers won 6-0. Dicker the kicker saving our hides, baby.
This is a straight baseball game score.
Yeah, this is Dick Perfect. This is Dick Perfect game, okay?
It is. He couldn't be more perfect.
When you look at like the box score, the number of zeros in every quarter, we scored 6 points in the second quarter, and that was it.
That was it.
Everything else is zeros.
You could turn off the game right there.
The last time we played them, I believe there was a shutout as well. It was different. It was 45-0 we lost to them.
Yeah, that was.
But we came back with our little darndest hearts, and we beat them 6-0.
We spanked them 6 times.
Yeah. So shut up.
There you go. Yeah, Justin Herbert, blessedly, I mean, threw for 212 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions
Protected the ball, man.
He also had like 5 drops. Like, imagine if we catch those and the drives are extended. He throws for 300 yards and a touchdown in that game. It's not as if he was off.
No,
whatsoever. It was raining pretty hard. It was cold.
Yeah.
And he was still on. Like, what? There was 4 drops. So that's 26 for 37. And you add at least 50, 60 yards on there.
Yeah.
You probably get in
probably
the end zone.
Probably a touchdown.
So,
yeah.
I think there was more drops than that. It was like 5 or 6.
Eck had one. Keenan had one.
Parham had
Quentin
two.
Had one. Parham had two. Yeah.
It was a very droppy day, but
quick question about that, Kyle. Like playing in like cold weather, because you played up in Reno and it gets cold and shitty weather up there. Yeah. Does that have an effect or not really?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way around it. You go outside right now. It's cold in Missouri.
Oh, dude, my office is like 40 degrees in here. I can't feel my hands.
To type. Yeah.
I can barely use my mouse.
Yeah. Imagine catching a fastball from Justin Herbert.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you.
With both hands, not just one. You can't like keep one in your pocket and to go catch it like that. But Keenan Allen only had 58 yards, but averaged 11.6 yards a catch.
Got to 100 catches on the season.
Congratulations, Mr. Allen.
Well done.
Quentin Johnston kind of had himself a bit of a game. Over 50 yards.
So this sucks. So he had his best game of the year so far for him, but he had one of the worst drops yet again. And it was not only that, but it was a drop where he kind of gave up on the route a little bit. And he was slowing down and he was like, oh shit, let me, you know, just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what this guy's confidence is right now. Like,
oh yeah,
it's gotta be terrible.
Every time he starts to get a little bit of steam and like
he sets himself back
and going,
yeah,
here we go. Well,
he can catch if it's thrown into his body. As soon as he has to go out, there's
or reach out or anything like
all
that.
All bets are off, man. Like to be a first round pick, I thought that should be something that you're pretty versed in, but
I remember defending him so hard. Everyone was like, his hands, his hands, his hands. And we're like, you guys are stupid. Watch his highlights. Yeah, your hands. Like, oh, man.
He's just, it's hard. Right. It's hard. He's not helping himself. He's doing the same thing over and over again. And it's very clear that we all see. I just hope he can figure it out, man, because if we have any chance of anything this year, he needs to produce.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially on, boy, this run game, only 18 yards for Austin Eckler.
That is a joke, man.
14 carries, 18 yards. Joshua Kelly at least had a better average, 6 carries for 16 yards.
Eck had 1.3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
14 rushes, 18 yards.
That's rough.
Dude, that's ugly. That's unacceptable, man. Like, I don't know. That's, I'm just
he didn't fumble.
He didn't fumble.
So, yeah, he got that going, listen, I guess. Yeah, we'll take it.
That's a step in the right direction.
It was just a weird game because the defense was so – it was fun to watch. They were playing out of their minds. Like, what do we have, five sacks?
Yeah, and all in the second half.
You know, turn the ball over Thule with a great, you know, turnover, getting the ball back on a fumble. And then the offense just couldn't do anything, and they kept shooting themselves in the foot. And some of the play calls were odd timing. Whenever we would do kind of – any kind of run play like Darius or like any kind of interesting pitch or anything, they blew it up. Like they're clearly still coached by Bill Belichick and we're ready for the stuff we were throwing at them. But the one thing I am happy about is the fact that our defense is absolutely showing up. And that was the thing we were all absolutely terrified of before the Ravens game. They actually started showing up. So if the offense can please just figure it out and be what you were capable of doing earlier in the season, this could be a lot of fun, Charger football games to watch.
Yeah, we need Corey Lindsley has to come back from the dead. Like I feel like there's no way that that's such a big part of what is going on in this running game. The other thing that I consistently see is our wide receivers block like dog crap. Like they're just not any good at blocking, and they're consistently like a big part of our blocking scheme where they're like pulling behind the line of scrimmage to block someone, and Darius Davis just gets like picked up and tossed out of the way, and it's like what do we think is gonna happen? Like one stretch, like wide play that we tried to run where Eck just got destroyed in the backfield.
Yeah,
that was Keenan Allen trying to block a defensive end. I'm sorry, that's never gonna work. That's never gonna happen. Like it's just not. And so I think that a big part of our running game is just like get our wide receivers out of the box. Why we're trying to utilize them as an advantage when they're creating huge mismatches for the defense. Just spread them out and run the ball with the spread box. Like you got to go a little bit college type of spread scheme thinking and running this ball, because bringing those guys into the box is not creating an advantage, and our tight ends can't block. So just try to, and our offensive line has struggled in the run game. It's beat up pretty good. So, but give them a chance, like just let them go man on man and see if we can get something going, because it has to change. You're not running the table if you can't run. You're not running the table if you can't run the ball.
When Austin's definitely does not look like himself at all. Like, you know, he had a couple, you know, running as hard as he can, but I want to see more Joshua Kelly in this situation. Like, if you're going to run between the tackles and try and do that, it's just not working with Eck right now. There's the time that he needs for these lanes to open up, we're just not getting it with our.
I don't think it's an Eckler thing. It's not. You can't blame a running back when they're getting hit in the backfield and there's nowhere for him to run. Mm-hmm. It's not a running back thing. It's an offensive line thing. I think we're just getting beat up up front. We just look kind of soft. Mm. When you watch them run against us, their line is getting pushed at least a yard, and then guys coming off. We're just getting stoned at the line of scrimmage. We're just not. I don't know. It's weird. I even saw Rashawn get kind of beat up a couple of times in the running game.
Wow,
it's just very odd.
It's just that. I don't know. I'll need to look at it a little bit closer, but it felt yucky when I watched it back this morning. Mm-hmm. Just there's nothing there. It's not like Eckler's just like making the wrong decisions and not looking for the right place. It's just there's nothing, there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm. I guess my point on the Kelly thing was like, well, there's nowhere to go, so just put your head down and be a bigger body and get us an extra yard and a half, 2 yards per run. Like, I think that's what my sentiment is for that situation. If you can't do it,
he's gonna hurt him. I feel like 6 carries a game for Josh Kelly is because he runs so ferociously.
Yeah.
If you give him the ball 20 times, he's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
Or maybe 14. little more. Just double. Let's go 12.
Listen, anything is possible with the rest of the season in front of us now that we got this win from New England, this the absolute must-win. Yes.
Yeah.
Looking over at some interesting stats, there's one here from Reddit from the user BRB Got a Hunt. Sunday marked the fewest points scored by the Chargers, 6, in a win in franchise history, according to NFL research, beating out the 7 they scored in Week 10, 1963, to edge the Boston Patriots. So
that's same crazy.
Same team.
Whoa. 1 point.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's I saw this. I was like, there's no way that I went and looked at it. It's absolutely true, and it's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Been a while. New record. We're setting records a lot this season. I like it.
Yeah.
And one of those is with Khalil Mack right now, who's currently the NFL leader in sacks with 15. Most sacks in an NFL season is 22 and a half from Michael Strahan in 2001 and TJ Watt in 2021. So we've got how many games left?
Six.
So
he's averaging one and a half a game.
If he gets another one, if we can play the Raiders one more time and get six more, like we did that last time.
5 games, you're good.
Oh, man. That's got to be.
But that would be such a terrible stat if we didn't make the playoffs and we had a edge rusher doing that.
Well, nothing gets worse than having the number one offense, number one defense, and not making the playoffs.
We've been there. Done that.
Topped it, trumped it. Let's see. Our buddy Dan W. Sports tweeted out Chargers Cameron Dicker currently has the highest field goal percentage at 95.2 of any kicker through their first 2 seasons in the NFL since 1970, minimum 25 attempts.
Attaboy, Dicker.
We got our guy, dude.
What a stud.
We got our guy.
Absolute guy.
Won that game.
Check back in on Dustin Hopkins and see what he's doing.
Haven't kept tabs on old Hopkins. Well,
let's just assume that Cameron Dicker is doing better.
I think it's safe to say.
Borderline bet money that Cameron Dicker's doing better. Well, let's see. What is this? What is this thing? Marty Schottenheimer, 51 games into his tenure.
What is this thing?
Okay, so let me take over on this.
Thank you.
So I found this screenshot. Somebody posted it, and it made me think. I was like, oh shit, like that's kind of crazy. Basically, 4 years into Marty Schottenheimer's career, because everyone's talking about Marty Schottenheimer. We need a Marty ball. We need Marty Schottenheimer at this point in his career. And granted, the different rosters, and he started off in a different place than Brandon Staley, but he was 25 and 26 in his first 51 games. Staley right now through his first 46 is 24 and 22. So I'm not saying Staley's the answer. I'm just saying it's hard to what I'm seeing online so much is these comparisons of like, if we had this, then we'd be good. Like it's all you can make it seem however you want it to seem. You know what I mean?
Everyone,
like,
sure. Everyone pulls up. I've been a Charger fan for so long. You don't know what it's like.
You don't know how long.
If you've really been a Charger fan that long, you know that a new coach isn't always the answer.
No.
It doesn't always get better.
No.
We've now gone through how many in the last 10 years, and it hasn't gotten better at all. So maybe the answer is ride it out.
It's hard to say and even hear.
It's hard to verbalize that, but like maybe the answer is like the guy's figuring it out. This is the first time head coach ever at any level, and he's now finally maybe shaking off some of the rust, and obviously his defense is playing incredible. Now I'm not saying that for sure he's the guy.
No, it's hard to say that, right?
But just from devil's advocate other point of view, Marty didn't have an incredible first 4 years, but still took us to our best record ever, and had a Super Bowl roster and team that just fell short.
Yeah, and I know this is going to be like people are listening to this like, oh my God, you guys are absolutely idiots.
Here come the comments.
Yeah, Jesus. I was just saying, it was more of an observation of like, look, this is where they are. So don't calm down. It's okay. You'll be all right.
Yes.
It was just meant just as an example.
A little food for thought.
Yeah, food for thought.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There's some other coaching news. Pat McAfee had Mike Greenberg on his show, and Mike Greenberg said, when I talked to Jim Harbaugh, he talked about Justin Herbert for 5 minutes, and he loves him. I do not think that Harbaugh will be back at Michigan next year. ESPN Greeny.
So I saw the clip of this quote. Yeah. It was like more than just that. It kind of makes it seem.
Right. Yeah.
It was like Greenberg was talking to Harbaugh, and
it's like a
Harbaugh
funeral was, or something. They were
it was just
funeral.
Like a general conversation. He wasn't asking him about specific players. He was just like, and then like, yeah, there's a ton of young quarterback talent, but I think Justin Herbert's the best. And then he went on to talk to about him for the next 5 minutes. So he definitely has an affinity for Herbo. If he ends up being a coach in the NFL next year, I think we know where he wants to be.
Sounds like it. And he's from, I think he's lived in Southern California and all that. It's interesting because the more I've done a little more research on it and trying to figure out a little more what's going on with this, but it seems like he's got like a scorched earth policy with whatever team he's on. Like as he's leaving, everyone's kind of pissed at him. But he gets guys ready to go and gets the best out of them until it doesn't work anymore. So, it's just interesting. I'm going to do more research, obviously, but interesting.
Well, the Michigan players all love him.
Yeah.
They're all like, couldn't be more excited about him as their head coach and like crying that he got like sanctioned this year and couldn't be on the sideline. So,
well, I think it's the players love him. I think it's the organizations that he works with that's where the problems happen. Like apparently for the 49ers, you know, after he made that run with Kaepernick and all that, like he was not getting along with the front office. So, well, it's a lot of things to think about. I'll figure it out later.
More food for thought.
Have
a good day.
Have a good day. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Here's some quotes here from the post-game presser. Staley on the defensive performance said, but it's been 2 weeks back-to-back where I felt like we've given ourselves a really good chance to win the game. We've had good consistency in the front seven, and I think that we've been trying to search for that consistency in the secondary. It's been pretty good the last 2 weeks. Just really proud of the guys. To get a shout-out, to get a shutout in the NFL is really tough. Really, really tough. And something to build off of. So the secondary, shouting out the secondary.
And all the new guys.
And all the new boys, yeah. He
definitely shook it up for sure.
Which is wild. I mean, again, to see another week where Mike Davis isn't out there on the field.
Yeah.
His special teams, I saw him on special teams a couple times.
Which is wild.
$9 million corner.
Yeah, there's been no talk about why he's benched him. Like I don't know why the reporters haven't asked that question, or if they have, I have not seen it. But it's just such a especially with the amount of money that's wrapped up in that, and it's such a key piece, and he's been a key piece of the defense for 5-6 years now, give or take. It's been a while. So I'm really curious where all that came from and what the decision was behind it. But I'm happy with the results so far, especially with Deanne Leonard doing well over there.
It still seems like their, you know, offensive scheming is to pick on him. So yeah. they same thing. The Patriots did the same thing, but like the similar deal, he figured it out. Mm-hmm. He got burnt on a couple, but he's figured it out. There's been no like crazy explosive plays on his side, except for the that one touchdown against the Ravens. So. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's just kind of crazy to see like where Mike Davis was and how desperate they were to like improve that position, and they were willing to do this. So
exactly.
I'm glad it's kind of working out so far, and hopefully he gets even more confident and kind of stack these performances and get better each week.
Yeah. Big time. Let's see. Staley on the focus for this week said, much like we focused on the turnovers last week, we'll be focusing on holding on to the football, running through the catch. Not in a slow it down type of way, but more in a speed it up way. Being strong with the ball and playing fast and trusting your game, I'm sure will improve there.
Freaking hope so. And let's play in SoFi where it's nice and warm, and you know we got the Broncos, so let's go.
that would be fun to see. Yeah, we've got the royal blue uni is coming up here.
That's right.
On Sunday.
These are good dubs.
I'm excited to bust out my royal blue.
Antonio Gates, like halftime induction.
Oh, that's right.
That's this game too. So it's going to be a really fun game.
That will be fun. Well, you know what else is fun? Our Patreon. Patreon.com/ChargerChat. Check out all the funny videos we got over there. Our laughs, our yucks, and God, we just have a good time with everybody because, you know, you can join. You can get one of these patches. Look at this patch.
Look at
the quality. Ah, it's so good.
Craftsmanship.
patreon.com/chargerchat. And if you don't want to go over there, that's totally fine. You can go on over to our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there. T-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This Jensen Ask Bold Fam, so go check out chargerchat.com. All right, gang, time to go on to the next segment. I'm excited to see this. I saw these ladies on Sunday, and I'm about to see them again in a whole new light. I'm talking about the brisket of bronze.
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Well, there's no place they wouldn't try to hang out with Justin and his squad. Get ready to hear their positive thoughts. It's time for Brisket Abroad.
Hi. We want to make sure we say hi to you guys.
Yeah.
Wait, were we going to do it in a British accent?
Hello there, governor. Oi, what's up, Barry?
That wasn't British. I couldn't say what's up. I don't know.
You guys, we won.
Sweet victory.
But, you know, more important than winning is being a good person and loving the people in our lives. And that's pretty much all I want to say about that.
Winning isn't everything.
But we're glad we won. So we beat the New England Patriots. We had this idea before. We're like, what if we did this whole segment in an English accent? I don't feel like I have the commitment for that, but we definitely recorded some of our other stuff in British accents. So if you're wondering why we're talking like that.
That's why. Because it was New England.
So let's get into it. Our signs laminated because this was a rainy game. And Justin and Joey are in bags because that's how they went to the game.
They're laminated.
That's their raincoat. Mary was working in Connecticut and she had one day off. So on Saturday, after she got off work, we drove to Boston. If you've never driven through Connecticut before, this is what it looks like.
That's a hospital? Oh, it's a hospital amphitheater.
What's that even mean?
I don't get it. Don't forget to take exit 27.
Okay. Probably the biggest highlight of the drive was that we went through Waterbury.
Waterbury!
Waterbury! For some reason, we were really excited about that.
Whoa, Waterbury.
As you can see, we were really leaning in hard to the English accent part of the segment there.
House of Bones barbecue. Cash for junk cars.
Lost dog. Oh my God.
Oh, that's sad.
It's an animal.
It's an animal.
It's a Mr. Friend.
Hey, we can make a quick $2,000.
Oh my God.
Let's find it.
$2,000 for that?
Oh my gosh.
This is what this could have been like.
Yeah. Is that what you guys want?
Let us know in the comments.
We continued our creepy drive on into Boston.
Oh, what is that?
They're ghosts.
Oh, I gotta suck out my soul.
What is this?
Even though we arrived in Boston at like a normal time, 5 o'clock. Hey, that's a good time to see this place. It was already full on nighttime because it's winter. But we thought, what the heck? Let's check out Harvard, even though, you know, it's dark.
Let's play. What do you think this building looks like in the daylight?
I think it's bright yellow with lightning bolts on it.
Definitely.
Look at that. It's beautiful. We checked out the bulletin board to see if they had any happening events we might want to crash.
Do you scan for tickets to go to this dance party?
No.
It doesn't start till 11, though. It's kind of...
Is that today? Today's the second.
It is today.
Let's go.
We didn't end up going.
No. When you're closer to 40 than you are to 20, it just doesn't seem right to go to a college party. So we didn't go to the party with the youths, but some other youths asked us this.
Would you be able to go and knock on the door of University Hall?
Yeah, what happens if I knock on it?
Or you get into Harvard.
I get into Harvard?
Do it, Heather! Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Is someone hot going to open the door?
We never really got an explanation of why, what, who.
I mean, maybe it was one of those things where we're just too dumb to understand because we didn't go to Harvard.
Into Harvard.
Other notable Harvard moments.
History.
And then we finished off our Boston experience by having some clam
chowder.
What'd you think of the clam chowder, Mary?
It was so good.
And then we drove to our creepy hotel in Wrentham, Massachusetts. Is that what it was? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like weird.
Something like that. On the way to our creepy hotel, we passed creepy Gillette Stadium.
Ooh. Did you think it was creepy?
It was kind of weird at night. Like, it was disconcerting.
As context, though, Mary gets disconcerted really easily at night.
That's true.
Night blindness.
I do. I have night
terror. She's scared of the dark, is what I'm trying to say. So Gillette Stadium scared her because it was dark.
I'm not scared of the dark. I am scared of what I can't see in the dark.
The whole stadium situation was not how I imagined it. It, like, was in a mall.
Yeah, like, it shares a parking lot with the Trader Joe's.
It was just weird. Did we want to say game day at the same time?
Yeah, we did.
And then it was
game day.
And what do you know? The forecast was...
Rain.
Rain. Oh, spooky.
So much rain.
It was always raining.
I liked the rain. I thought it was fun.
I thought the rain was fun, too.
You did?
Yeah. But I was cold and wet at the end and was ready for it to be done.
But it felt right, you know? Like, yeah. It was time for a rain game. For a nice, rugged... Let's go out there and be uncomfortable.
We had a New England Breakfast of Champions at Gunther and Tootie's.
It's just Gunther Tootie's.
Gunther Tootie's.
I can't believe you got it wrong.
I know.
It's just like everybody knows about Gunther Tootie's.
It's like such a big deal around here.
It was, you know, whatever. It wasn't the best bagel I've ever had.
Yeah.
If you ever go to Gillette Stadium and you're driving a car and you want to park your car, there's a few different options. One, you need to get season tickets.
Yeah, so that's your first option. Season tickets, and you can pay $50 for a parking spot right across from the Trader Joe's and you can go into the stadium.
Or they have free parking across the street from the stadium.
And it's all owned by the stadium.
Yeah. Or you can park in a parking lot also owned by the stadium, and they will give you a $50 Visa gift card if you just agree not to leave until 70 minutes after the game ends. We decided to do that.
$50 gift card, baby!
They handed it to us as soon as we got into the parking lot.
Do you want to open your present?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, let's go!
We got paid to park at the stadium.
We don't know how long this offer will be going on for. Apparently they're really trying to cut back on the traffic situation post-game. So we parked in that parking lot, and then we made our way through a rainy parking lot. And then walked through the mall. And then we saw our friend Heather Hancock.
Yeah.
Hello.
at the mall.
The mall.
And then we went into the stadium.
That was great.
America. Yeah, screw the British.
What do you think, Mary?
I don't hate it.
It's nice. It's nice.
Ooh, look at that thunder, lightning.
I think this is probably a good time to talk about what we thought of the stadium.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was like a weird beginning, but I liked it.
I didn't hate that it was not covered because, you know, one rain game, that's fun.
Yeah.
We had this sign in the game and the other side is for Thule. Oh, got to give a shout out to Kyle because he was the one who came up with that nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Kyle. T for Kyle. We tried to show Thule his sign, but I don't know if he ever really saw it.
It's almost like he was locked in and thinking about something else.
Yeah.
There's Thule! Look at the sign we made for you, Thule! Thule!
Ah!
Thule! Thule!
Thule! Thule!
Mary didn't have an opportunity to yell things to Bill Belichick.
No, it was hard because everybody looked like him.
It's so true.
Even the women.
It's so true. There were so many people that I was like, is that Bill Belichick? It's just the grumpy New England look. We went into the stadium early so that we can partake in our favorite activity, which is watching the players warm up.
A great throw.
Our seats are in the end zone, but the whole stadium's just like connected.
We're gonna go behind the bench for the warm up.
Yeah,
part.
This is one of those great stadiums where they don't have walls in the way, so you can just walk all the way over.
We got to see a lot of cool stuff when we got over there. We saw Justin.
We saw Santa.
Hi, Santa.
Hello, Santa. Can I make my Christmas wish? I'd like the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl and win.
You gotta get a pick with Santa too.
I think Santa's gonna grant me my wish because I've been a good girl. We're going to the Super Bowl.
It's over, guys. We also got to talk to Eric Smith.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
How's it going?
A bit better.
Stand more.
He didn't seem like he was a big fan of this whole rain situation.
Nah.
He said he'd rather have it be snowing.
Yeah, because then at least it would be fun. Is that what he said?
Well, it's like drier.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't been to a snow game yet, so.
Mm-mm.
We saw some other players too. Not really sure who.
And who is everybody? It's so hard to tell.
Oh, I can tell. That's Max Duggan. He comes with my words.
Right?
That's Jalen Guyton.
Okay, there he is.
That's Justin Herbert right there.
You don't say.
Everyone was wearing these matching gray sweatsuits with their hoodies on, yeah. So it's hard to distinguish players.
You're not going to believe who else we saw on that field.
Adam! Is that Adam? He got a job at the Chargers?
Why didn't you tell us you were going to be at the game?
Come on, Adam.
And why didn't you come over and say hi?
Yeah.
That was kind of rude.
We're mad at you.
So that was the pregame fun. And then it was time for the game time fun. They said after the national anthem, there was going to be a flyover. But we were like, it's friggin' overcast. We're not even going to see it. But then we saw it. Mm-hmm.
Some jets just flew over.
We paid them a lot of money.
I think it's helicopters. Here we go, here we go.
Ah! We've never seen a helicopter fly over before.
I've seen a helicopter before. We also tried some stadium food.
Hello.
Oh,
lovely. That looks pretty good, actually.
At a lot of these stadiums that we've been to, they do kind of fun name things. Like at Lambeau Stadium, they had pack and cheese instead of mac and cheese. And they had go deep dish pizza. You know, we're like, ah, ha, ha. And these are the names of the food places at Gillette Stadium. There you go. They're like, what? It's stadium pizza.
It's what it is.
It's what it is. Did you want Italian sausage? Well, go over there. That's where they sell Italian sausage. I mean, you got to respect it. They're like, why do we need to have a fun, cutesy name?
This is football, okay?
This is football. This is probably a good transition into talking about the Patriots fans. How did you feel about them?
I kind of really liked them.
Going to this game, you know, you kind of have that wariness of like, oh man, this is probably gonna be scary. These guys are gonna be scary. But our very first interaction, we got out of the car and we were taking pictures of our signs, and the Patriot fan parked next to us, he was like, I like your signs. And we're like, you know, wait, is he kidding? But no, he was just being nice. When we walked through the parking lot, no one booed us, which when we were at the Jets games, everyone booed us. It was like they were getting paid to boo us or something. But at the Patriots, nobody was mean. They were like, like your hats. The people we sat next to, mostly great. When we got to our seats, we met the brisket bread nemesis. There's something about a crotchety middle-aged woman. They just don't like us sometimes. I don't know what it is. But before the game even started, this lady gives me the old, and she's like, you can't stand the whole game. And I was like, girl, I got you. No worries. I will not stand the whole game. I know how it works. I'll make sure you can see when there's play happening. But she was one of those, though. It wasn't just really about the sitting and the scene. It was about the power tripping
and the
telling people what to do. I'm sorry, we're not new to this. We're going to every single game this year. We've been to many away games. We understand this whole dynamic where opposing fans like to assert their dominance on visitor fans and act like they can tell you what to do. And they often think us with our funny hats and our fun signs that we're going to be pushed around, but that's not going to happen. Anyways, majority-wise, Patriot fans were, like, freaking amazing. But just not this, I don't even know, Barbara the Biatch. Great people. Great accent.
Some other notable game moments.
They played Taylor Swift, and Hannah got to show off the fact that she was wearing a Taylor Swift shirt.
Guy, big Taste Whistle fan.
Big.
Style back.
Huge. The girls to our right, they were more coming to the game because of their significant others, you know, were Pats fans. But I think we converted them.
I think we got some new Chargers fans.
Yeah. So cute. I like. I do. It doesn't take much to make a female want to be a Charger fan.
We'll leave it at that.
Other things that happened, we saw Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, Mel Gibson! Yeah, Patriots! Great movie!
The Patriots, great movie.
We sang a very applicable Rihanna song.
Raining, Umbrella.
We saw Mike Nowak.
He also didn't seem like he was a big fan of the rain. It's probably hard to keep all that camera equipment dry. That can't be fun. No way. We didn't film too much of the game because it was raining.
So hard.
It's hard, okay? Your hands are cold. It's hard to operate a phone. It's all wet.
We did our best.
We did our best. Okay. This is some stuff.
I don't want to sit in my wet seat.
Let's go, defense! some...
Say we were there.
Something. And then we won.
Rainy games are so hard. It's hard to catch. It's hard to run.
It's hard to tackle people. They're so slippery. Everything's so slippery.
So slippery.
But thank the Lord for Cameron Dicker.
Cameron! You did it!
It was sad for the Patriots fans, especially these ones that time traveled from the Revolutionary War just to be there.
Thank you for your service! Thank you for your service! Oh no, he's stuck! He's watching his son! Stop!
Oh my gosh, he almost died.
That was so scary.
Not gonna lie, I kind of wanted to see what would happen if they kept pulling it up. Like, would it have lifted him up by that single button? We were on the other side from the Chargers tunnel. So after the game was over, they all went that way. So we didn't get any Charger high fives. But, you know, that's okay.
Just cherish the few that you do get.
We had to kill time because obviously we weren't allowed to leave our parking lot until 70 minutes.
Or we'd have to give the gift card back. And we already spent it on pretzels and sausage hot dogs.
The stadium's like in a mall with a bunch of food. So we caught up with Heather and Terry and we went to this little brewery that had chili with brisket. So we ate it.
Yeah, it's some victory chili.
It's not as good as Abby's chili, but it's pretty good.
It was so wonderful. I loved the chili.
Is that from something?
No, I just... wasn't wanted to use an English accent again.
Nice.
Terry also gave us these cute little Charger cup bracelets.
I'm getting at this. You're saying this.
Thank you, Terry. You're drinking from it. There you go.
I think they're for communion, so I'll definitely bring those to church. We got to talk football with a lot of cool people at that brewery, which was really fun. And we also met Donnie, who is a Chargers fan from North Carolina. He gave us the lowdown on how to smuggle beer into stadiums.
I'm here with Donnie, and he's going to tell us about his beer belt.
This beer belt I got years ago as a birthday present. It's actually worked in Charlotte. It's actually worked in Atlanta. And now it's actually worked in New England.
What did you do?
You get six beers in here. You get six beers through here.
One in each pocket as well.
If the melt setter goes off, you lift up your shirt, you go like this, and you just see your belt buckle.
Oh my gosh.
That's what's causing the, and you pull it back down.
Eight beers into this game.
I did.
And that's why we won. Let's go, Tony, with the eight beer belt.
He's pretty genius.
Yeah, belt buckle throws him off.
It's a classic.
And that was our Patriot game experience.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed it, you know?
See you in Las Vegas. Brisket.
Broads!
We saw so many people, wonderful people like Santa and Mel Gibson and
Apparently
I was there.
That is clearly a doppelganger. That was a doppelganger. That's crazy. The back of your head is exactly the same.
I was locked in like Thule. I didn't hear you screaming my name, but
dude, the guy getting his button caught on the thing.
Sheer panic.
Hold the panic in his face. Like, guys, wait.
Stop.
Yeah. And Barbara the Bitch. If you guys know Barbara the Bitch.
Biatch.
If you know Barbara the Biatch, make sure to tag her in this episode. We'll get the news out to her.
I love that.
Biatch. They're hard now. They are like,
they're harder than me.
Dude, they are hardcore fans that are like, the leather is growing on
through
them.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, tell us how this works because we've been to every f***ing game.
Yeah.
Idiot. Have you been outside of Boston? I don't think so. Probably.
Barb.
Pleasure doing business with you, Barb.
That was so fun, ladies. Thank you.
Well done.
Again, for thank another for awesome that. Brisket abroad. All right. Well, folks, now time to get to Ask Bolt Fam. Let's see what we got on the agenda after a dub.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
guy, guys.
Don't jam a thumb up his butthole, that's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam, and we start off with Senior Snappy, who asked the question.
Was that actually in Foxborough? I don't know how to feel.
Feel good.
Just
feel
allow good. Yourself to be happy. Yeah. Wow.
Dude, we beat them in
their
home stadium.
Which we haven't done in a very, very long time.
Goose egg. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We shut them out. We shut out Bill Belichick, the defensive guy. Mm-hmm. 0 points.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Shut him out.
That's a good W. In the rain.
On a train. With a fox.
By the
on
bay.
On a box. yeah, dude, feel good.
Allow yourself. It's like people, like, they start to feel good. They're like, wait, no, I can't. I shouldn't. This is wrong.
Well, it goes against everyone's feeling of we got to get rid of the staff. Like, you start winning,
you're going to hire a draft pick.
You might look wrong. You know, you might not look, you might not know what you're talking about a little bit. And people don't want to admit, like, everyone was like, get rid of Staley. He's not going to win shit anymore. Lose it all, get a draft pick. But, like, hey, same people are complaining about our first round draft pick. So they're complaining about, like, we should tank this season for the draft, but we hate our draft pick the first round. So it's like, come on. What do you want? What do you want from us?
They want
what
do you everything. Want
from them?
They
yeah.
I want the world.
Just enjoy it, man. It was a freaking win.
Don't care how
I want it now.
All right. Senior Snappy, feel good. And thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Bolt Lounge, who asked the question.
Why does this win still feel like loss?
That's impossible. Wins can't be losses.
Yeah, well, it's your perspective, man. I mean, you just came into this game a little too
negative. You just gotta work in your perspective, man.
Well, I think here's the deal. I think a lot of fans right now, how they feel about this team, if we didn't blow them out, it was never, you're not going to get a good word said about it. So the fact that it was only 6 points,
it's not worth it.
We should just plummet for
it's
draft
still
picks.
Not. It's still not good because we did blow out the Bears and we did blow out the Jets and it was still not good enough because those are bad teams.
Yeah.
There's always something.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a loss because it wasn't a loss. It was a win. So it felt like a win.
It felt like a win to me too.
God.
Not saying you feel that way about Bolt Lounge, like fully.
It's okay, you're allowed to feel like it's a loss.
Yeah, however you want.
But it was a win.
It was absolutely a win.
Right.
When we look back at the season, we're going to look back at the record and not look back at the game we wish our offense would have been slightly more competent in.
That's the only thing is, I guess you feel like a loss because our offense didn't play very well. Right. But our special teams was incredible.
The best special teams performance we've had.
J.K. Scott, come on.
Darius Davis. Like, it was all good.
Yeah, without that Darius Davis return, we don't get that extra 3 points. That's a 3-0 win.
Dicker was incredible. Like, a lot of the team was really, really good. We just had some drops on offense, but it was a win.
They're responding too, dude. These guys are stepping up. They're not giving up. This isn't over yet. They want this to be a good defense. You can clearly see it by how they're playing. I know it's the third string quarterback, but just give them a freaking break, guys. Calm down. Yeah. Or don't calm down. Be you. Whatever.
Do whatever you want.
I don't care.
Be it's loud and angry. I don't
care. Whatever. Anymore. Just don't add. Just don't add us.
We lost, I guess.
Sure.
All right. Bolt Lounge, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to OM Run. Who asked the question?
Do you enjoy the sarcasm online? This fan base can rock the dry, sardonic humor when we play like shit. Personally, I enjoy it. By the end of the season, we'll all be ready for a Netflix special.
I don't know. Some people's idea of sarcasm is like, this team sucks, and they suck, and you suck, and I suck. We all suck. And you're like, oh, stop being so negative. That and they're like, sucks. Oh, I'm just being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. Or even somebody commented on one of our posts today, just like shitting on it, the fact that we won. I was like, great defensive win. And they were like shitting on it. And I responded with, oh, you hated the game. Well, please tell me more. They really told me more. That was sarcasm. I did not want to hear what the you had to say. So I don't think sarcasm is felt all the time. At least not mine. But
yes.
Do tell us more.
Sarcasm doesn't always translate in the textual world, but
if there's good sarcasm and I'm missing it, please. I am a very sarcastic person by nature, and I really enjoy some good, but it's got to be good sarcasm, and sarcasm does not work in text messages or any, because I've gotten in trouble on text messages being sarcastic when it did not come through. So that's real.
I don't think I know what sarcasm is anymore.
Like, was that
what
sarcastic?
I read online? Are
you being sarcastic?
What I read online doesn't feel like sarcasm at all.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I mean. So, like, sarcasm in text doesn't always translate. But hey, if it makes you tougher, OM Run, and if it's giving you material,
maybe
for a Netflix
OM
special,
Run is just—he's just spinning it.
Yeah,
all these people that are hating—they're just—it's just. Read it through a sarcasm lens.
Oh my God, everything's sarcastic.
We're the most positive fan base in the world.
OM Run,
everyone is just super sarcastic.
Yeah.
OM Run figured it out.
Dude, let's try that this week. This is a great idea. Yeah, like, you're just laugh at everything people are saying.
That's
a good one.
That's sarcasm.
What happens when you reply with, that's a good one? What do they say? Like, okay.
They're like, no, I'm being serious.
Oh.
Take the sarcasm glasses off.
Yeah, and then it makes them like question that. So let's flip this shit. This
I like it, OM Run. It's all sarcasm.
Let's go.
Okay. Figured out how to be
full. Got our homework
full circle on that. Yeah.
OM Run, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Anthony Tony Francis, who asked the question.
Tony.
Which would you give more credit for the win? The lack of the Patriots offense or the Chargers defense? Saying a little of both is not allowed, okay? You have to give one of them all the credit. All right.
What about, hey, you want to I'll go there. Why don't we just say special teams? Because they absolutely won that fucking game. There was the field position, what we put them in. Didn't he down one punt at like the 1 yard line?
That was, yeah.
And we kicked six field goals. Mm-hmm. So number 100% that, and then 100% our defense. 100%. Like, that's how we won that game. And I don't think it's the Patriots offense. Like, we were both in a struggling situation where when it's a rainy, shitty game, the best defense is usually going to win that game. And we were the best defense.
Yeah, they're NFL football players. They don't have a great offense, but if you don't come out and play, they're going to score points on you. Like, they'll find ways to make big plays. So yeah, I'm not going to say that their offense sucked and that's why we won. No, our defense went out there and made them suck.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
There you go.
And they haven't been shut out this year either. So how about them apples?
But they have lost their last three games, allowing less than 10 points to the opposing team.
Okay, sure. Whatever. It's not a shout out.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Cool fact. Hey, I love your sarcasm. This is great. Let's get this started.
Actually, the Saints shut him out in October, 34-0.
So we did it.
Whatever, dude. Yeah, sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
I was just being sarcastic.
I was just being sarcastic, guys. Just being sarcastic.
I was like, I'm pretty sure they did get shut out. I'm pretty sure. I heard them say this was their second shut out.
Whatever. Bill Belichick's never won a Super Bowl either.
Whatever. Whatever.
He's a bad coach. Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
And we hope he's our next coach.
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm. Anthony Tony Francis, thank you for asking
the question. I love just calling out everything with his sarcasm.
Well, it's confusing. You got to tell people when you're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on now to Jers Fanatic, who asked question.
Hey, yo, QJ isn't having a terrible game and has actually balled us out in a few third downs. Do you think that this is just a fluke, or is this progress that we could potentially look forward to in the future? Also, Dick Perfect is playing great.
I love when the nickname continues. Dick Perfect is playing amazing. And
just a select few group of people that will not let it die.
It's okay. It doesn't have to die.
It's okay. They're just being sarcastic.
And tell me, because I couldn't tell, because Jers is in every episode because we're a Charge Jers podcast. So when I search the name, Okay.
You did this last week as well.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
He was
sarcasm.
Being sarcastic.
Just sarcasm.
Don't worry about it.
Sarcasm.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Sarcasm.
Yeah, this was tweeted before the drop.
I don't know.
Let's get a timestamp on this one.
Oh, crying out loud. More work.
Get to it.
God bless.
Well, based on the sarcasm. Use of language, it's isn't having, that's present tense. So it was during the game that he's saying he didn't have a terrible game. So it had to be during the game.
No, but the post didn't come out till after the game, unless this was on the website.
It's on the website.
Yeah, this is probably right before his drop.
Yeah. I would still say like it's a better game for sure. He strung together some big plays there. If you want to get real, real sarcastic, you could say that it's the rain. It's rain's fault.
Or it's on Justin for not throwing it into his body.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
That's Justin, come on. Yeah. Pull it together, man. Sarcasm. Justin.
That's definitely sarcasm.
Yeah, that's definitely sarcasm. But I'm sure Justin, of any of the quarterbacks, could probably make that adjustment to help him figure it out a little bit more. Just shoot, throw it in his...
I don't know. He tossed one straight at Keenan last week, and it just boinked right off his chest.
That was his son, though.
Oh, yeah, that was
sarcasm.
Yeah, sarcasm.
Yeah.
All right. Jers Fanatic, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Derwin's Dirty Duck, who asked the question.
Old boy Herbert is definitely in a lean patch right now, but I think we are not really considering all the factors contributing to his performance. We are, again, short in key positions. Our receiving core is short-staffed, and we are leaning on players who either don't have the experience or simply aren't elite players. And I think both ourselves and the media are really underestimating the loss of Mike Williams. Mike just made those 50-50 catches all the time. He's an absolute elite wide receiver with freakishly gifted awareness and athleticism. We need to stop comparing Q to Mike and let him develop. Let's put the pitchforks away and get behind this guy. He might turn into the player we drafted. I'm with you, Quentin. Breathe, and it'll come. Anyway, my question. Who the hell is Alex Erickson?
He got a game, Paul.
Yeah.
Dude, he sealed the game. Like that, they could
put it away.
Caught the ball?
They could have. All he had to do was score one
pass,
touchdown.
Game ball.
Honestly, it sealed the it's finishing.
Yeah,
the Chargers don't finish.
Do we drop that ball?
Exactly.
Or you get sacked or something.
It's just funny.
Totally. Because like we didn't have to throw that ball.
No.
It was third down. They had no timeouts. You could have just run that ball, run the clock down really far, tried to punt. Like, this was, we're going to finish right now, and you're going to be done. And the only guy for him to throw to is Alex Erickson. But he stepped up and, like, made a clutch play in a clutch moment, which we haven't had a lot of this year.
Dude.
Wow. I thought he was an undrafted player. He's been in the league for a while.
I think he was our Cincinnati guy. He was from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, Texans, yeah.
We
Panthers,
talked about him
Commanders,
a while
Jets.
Ago. Yeah.
He's been everywhere.
He's seasoned.
Seasoned.
But I think the biggest thing we have right now, dude, is like if you could find the guys that can catch, because they're not, like you said, they're not all elite athletes.
I don't care if they can run.
I got one question for you.
If they can jump.
Can you catch?
I know it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that, and it sounds stupid, but find the guys.
No, this isn't sarcastic. It's only one question. Can you catch?
This is the real deal, okay? If you can catch the ball,
you can play
receiver.
You're
out there because Justin will find a way.
If you can catch a wrench, you can catch a ball.
He literally throws balls that are absolutely insane on players that aren't open. And if you can catch the ball, he's going to have 300-yard games. He had 200 and something with like five drops. So stop dropping the ball. Get players out there that can catch the ball. And that's a completely different game. That's what that
game is. This year when we scout the draft, we're just looking for guys that can catch.
Hands, baby. Hands.
Elite hands.
Hands.
Elite hands.
99 on
Madden. I need big hands. Big elite hands.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what they say about big hands?
Do they?
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Whoa, where are you going?
All right. Well, all right. Derwin's Dirty Duck, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to JV, who asked the question.
Good to get a W at a time like this. My only concern, why do the commentators always give us backhanded compliments? It's always the defense gets the stop out of all the times they couldn't get it. They did now. Can't we just get a good job, Chargers?
Our own fan base doesn't even say that. Why would the commentators?
Yeah. That's true.
It's just the it's the story, man. It's what it is. It's when, you know, all these people are talking shit about him. They're friends with Rex Ryan, who thinks, you know, coach should be a JV high school football coach somewhere.
Right.
You know, like it just seeps into their shit. Those guys talk for 3.5 hours and not all that stuff's original content. They're just being fed the bullshit that is whatever the storyline is that week and whatever.
But how many people were at home saying that same exact thing?
Well,
like, oh my God, we finally got to stop. Like, well, it's the same thing.
Here's the thing. You get a lot of people that listen to this, listen to the broadcast, and that's what they repeat when the game's over. Mm-hmm. So you're not always getting authentic thoughts on how the game went. It's they're repeating this. Like, I've seen this sentiment the whole time, like how they were kind of ragging on us the whole time. That's exactly what people were saying when the game was over. So that's why I like to watch it muted, or I like to watch it with the official, you know, podcast with Matt Money. Yeah, like that's at least gives you some perspective and it's not all just shitting on the Chargers all the time because it's easy. It's that easy thing to do. And it has been for a long time. So it's just is what it is.
There's just not a lot of respect around.
No. And we haven't earned it.
Side of the ball. No, yeah, exactly.
Why would they? We haven't earned it. So go earn it. And then until then, let them keep talking shit and we can eke out wins and see if we can do something.
Yeah. So great question, JV. Thank you for asking it. Let's move it on now to Boltenberg, who asked the question. What the bolt? I don't know what I am more shocked about. The fact that the Chargers actually pulled off a win, the fact that the team got a win in a game I tried not falling asleep to, the fact that they shut out Bill and Foxborough, or the fact that no matter how many times I looked throughout the day, there was no Charger chat instant reaction. Definitely no instant reaction takes the cake. Now on to more serious things. 10-7, here we come, baby. These wide receivers are going to drop those passes all the way into the big show. These RBs are going to run into the walls of the hopes and dreams of the opponents as they lose their spot in the playoffs. QJ is going to do just enough to convince us fans that he has turned a corner just to play patty cake with an important pass straight to the judges of your favorite cooking show at the end of the games. But wait, don't forget about our secret weapon, now presenting some kid who nobody has ever heard of from Wisconsin named Erickson with the miraculous downfield catch to seal the game. And then we shove him back into the box at the back of the bus so he doesn't have to worry about being on the same page as Herbert for any important moments in the game. But hey, if that isn't all enough to give you the confidence that this team is ready to contend for the Lombardi, then let me present to you one of the top special team squads in the league. Not only will they make sure that the other team doesn't start with the ball outside of their own 10, but they will do just enough on punt returns to allow your offense to get into position for a field goal. This team is going places, especially with a defensive scheme that is so unpredictable. How could it fail? I present to you the Los Angeles Chargers, the team that surely won't let you down. Here's my question. What the bolt is going on with this team? One week it's Staley's fault, the next week it's the player's fault, then it's the injury's fault, then it's the fault of Susan from accounting that just wanted to see everyone have a good time. I mean, come on. There is so much potential for greatness, and even in the games we are supposed to blow a team out of the water, we can't even dip our toes without screaming like little girls because it's cold. I love my team and always will, no matter what. I believe we will make the playoffs until they say we can't. Then I will find some Raider fan and kick him in the shin and run screaming FTR. Love you guys till the wheels fall off. K, love you, bye.
Till the wheels fall off, baby.
That's there was a lot of sarcasm in that one. Yeah, I hope you picked up on that.
Oh, there's all kinds.
All kinds.
All kinds of sarcasm.
Different shades of sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's a weird season. It's a weird season all around the league right now.
Maybe you're looking for excuses from everywhere because it's, like, no one knows what's going on. It doesn't make any sense.
Who am I?
It just doesn't make any sense. Like,
who am I?
Defense can't stop anyone. Offense can't score. Turnovers. Injury. Like, it just, none of it makes any sense. You can't pinpoint one specific thing to say this is why we're losing. And that's why it's really frustrating as a fan.
Yeah.
But I like the sentiment. I believe they'll make it to the playoffs, so they say we can't.
Yeah.
What else? That is a good fan mentality.
Yes.
Like, I don't care about the draft. I don't care about the draft. I care about this season. You only get so many seasons, and I want to do something with it. I know it's a long shot, but I still want something to happen with this.
Yeah. long shots are more fun.
Absolutely.
It's more exciting.
Baby. Rocky, come on now. Let's go. Paulo versus Rocky.
Yes. Well, loved it, Bolton Berg. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Hangry Seth, who asked the question.
Well, that was interesting, but nonetheless, a win. Now, here's my question. Is it just me, or does Eckler look slow or just not motivated? And why do they continue not to try and use Spiller? They benched Vato. Why not bench Eckler? Just a thought. Can't love you, bye.
You okay? There's a seizure going on over there.
Brain spasm. Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't know. It's definitely not working. If it's the offensive line fault, let's find out if it is 100% by letting somebody else do it. It is not working. It is so not working right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Eckler might still be a little banged up if his ankle's still hurting him.
He doesn't look as quick, really. Yeah,
right.
But I think the fact that they haven't switched means either A, Isaiah Spiller is not good at all.
Yeah.
Or B, it really is the offensive line. Like, it's not the running back that's causing the issues. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
So if you know as a coaching staff, this is not a running back issue, you're not going to change out the running back. As a fan, they don't tell us that. So it would be more fun to see different guys in there. Like, hey, we're trying something like we did with the DBs that worked. So the Isaiah Spiller thing seems to be a gigantor bust. I mean, this is 2 years now. He doesn't even make the active, like the game day roster. So throw him in there and give him a chance.
Yeah, I feel like they asked Coach about Spiller at one of the...
He just said he's not practicing well.
Just not practicing well. So they're obviously going with who they think is the right guy.
Maybe he's a gamer. Like, there are... That's a real thing. These guys that are just gamers, you give them the ball and they can perform.
Right.
Allen Iverson, one of the most infamous interviews of all time, is practice? Talking about practice? Like, there's guys... I'm sorry, but you're not an old school coach, Staley. You're not. You're not a tough guy. You're not an alpha male. You're not a... If you don't do this, it's my way or the highway. Like, that's just not who you are. You're about relationships and kumbayas. Give the guy a shot. Like, I don't know why you've pigeonholed this to be your... I'm going to be an alpha when it comes to Isaiah Spiller, but maybe he had a tough practice here and there. You spent a lot on this guy. Like, you give good draft capital for him. He has not even sniffed the field yet. What we've seen in the preseason is he's a big, strong back and move people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. We carry three backs always. Now all of a sudden we only carry two and only one guy touched the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Wouldn't hate to see it, but
I wouldn't bench Eckler, but get him in the mix a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe get it spread out instead of 16 and 14. Just give him all 10 touches.
Yeah.
My guess is it's probably like pass blocking and liability for Justin. That's one of my guesses, probably what's happening.
He's been one of the most pressured and sacked quarterbacks in the league. So we're not doing a great job as it is.
Yeah. Okay. So it could be worse is what I think Kevin said.
Yes. It could be that bad.
But Hangry Seth, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Jason Sprinkle Sr.
Served by Fresh.
Ooh, who asked the question? The run game is broken and the passing game is full of drops. Lack of discipline, or is it time to move on from the running back room entirely and look at new receivers and new backs for next year? Except Keenan. He comes back because Mike Dubb is gone. Guyton playing scared.
It's easy to say all those things after a game where we didn't score a touchdown, so it's...
The drops aren't going to continue.
No.
Like, I really don't believe that that's the case. I don't think... Quentin is a bust. I don't think that he's done and his career's over. Keenan Allen is not going to continue to drop balls like he has the last couple weeks. It's going to get fixed, the drop stuff. Right. The running game is the one that I'm like, it's been a couple of years now. This personnel just can't run the football.
Right.
Especially in a, we know you're going to run the football. There's definitely no way you can run the football type of situation. So, mm-hmm. That's the scary part, especially when you brought in an OC that was supposed to be he's going to fix this and it's all going to be better. And then week one, we're incredible. Like, we could run at will. And then this whole season just makes no sense.
Yeah.
It is not following any type of like normal trajectory.
Anything you can like track or like project at all.
You have no idea what's coming.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's no real chance that Eckler is going to be coming back next year. I think that ship has already sailed. So you're already looking at trying to find who the next top running back is going to be for this team, the new first stringer. And I don't know if Joshua Kelly is going to be the answer. So it'll be interesting to see if it ends up being a trade situation or a draft situation for running back. But wide receiver wise, definitely want to hang on to Keenan. I would love to hang on to Mike Dubb too, if they can find a way to rework their contracts and make it work for having both of those guys back. That would be a lot of fun to see. But Jason Sprinkle Sr., thank you for asking the question. Moving on now to Guidebook Beats, who asked the question.
Hey guys, does Khalil Mack get to 20 sacks this year?
I'm going 23, baby. We're setting the record. Eight sacks in the next five games. Let's go. Whoa. Sign me up. But yeah,
he'll
20
be so
easy.
Expensive for us to extend.
I know.
Well, we have Khalil Mack for one more year.
One more
year.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think he's getting to 20 for sure. I mean, what's going to slow him down?
Yeah. He'd definitely do it.
Give me one good reason.
He just needs one good Raider game. He'll have 21.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Another six sack.
Another six sack against the Raider game? Come on.
Let's go.
I want to live in that world.
That's insane.
The year where he just gets 12 sacks against one team.
That'd be dope. Hopefully they don't put like an asterisk next to it. Like the Raiders suck.
Yeah, P.S. Yeah.
He got to play the Raiders twice.
Now it makes sense.
Oh, okay. Caveat. Well, it's just like what they always say about Chargers. Like, oh, nice defensive stop, but play the Raiders twice.
Yeah. Well, doesn't matter. Guidebook Beats, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Scotty B63, who asked the question.
I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss every time. Should we be trading Joey Bosa and extending Khalil Mack? Khalil and Tuli have been an absolute beast. Do we still need Joey given his frequent injuries? Caleb, you bye. Bolt up.
It's hard to say because honestly, we don't watch Joey Bosa play football. So at this point, it wouldn't be that hard
he's
to trade him.
He's good at eating Raisin Bran, though.
Yeah, honestly, there's no consistency. Like, Khalil Mack has played 30 straight games.
Yeah.
What would you say you do here?
It's hard, dude. You pay him so much freaking money, and he's never healthy.
He's consistently here. It's not
or
like
he's banged
one-off.
Up just enough to not be 100%.
Or he's throwing his helmet in a playoff game and causing personal
fouls. Or he's being
a
liability like that. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I love Joey Bosa.
It's not been a good last 2 years for Joey Bosa, that's for sure.
No, and do you see it? Looking at trajectories, do you see that getting any better, or is his body just going to keep getting beat up and he'll play six games a year and you pay him that much freaking money? Like, yeah, I think what you have with Tuli and with Khalil, like, it's freaking awesome and they're reliable. They're playing, they're not out. Like, you know, availability.
I don't know if Joey
thing.
Is a giant trade token right now. Like, he's got a really big contract, and everything that we're saying is true. Like, he has been hurt a lot lately. So that his numbers are not good because he never plays. Right. So
you got to find somebody that wants to bite. And yeah, I don't know anybody that's wanting to bite with that much money attached to it.
If somebody's willing to give up something like a draft pick, then yeah, I would for sure say, because I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know.
Almost
he's
feels
so
like,
good at football when he's on the field. It's just, yeah. It's hard.
With our cap next year, like, freeing up that money is a big deal. And it's not just a draft pick. Like, if somebody's willing to take on that contract,
right?
Like, that'll free up a lot, give you a lot of options. Cause he's one of the top three most expensive contracts on our team. Yeah. And he's not on the field. And it's hard, man. I love Joey Bosa. He's like one of the last San Diego Chargers. So to even say this out loud is like breaking my heart.
Yeah.
But he's never on the field.
Yeah. And that's a bummer. So. Yeah. We'll see what they end up going with next year, Scotty, but thank you for asking the question. Moving on now to DJ Jones, and shout out to House of Hain. Going with DJ Jones on this one, who asked the question.
Howdy, y'all! 6-0, a win is a win, be it uglier than a ugly Christmas sweater in July. Yet a win in itself, we'll take it. Going into the Donkeys game next week, how should we go about getting a win? And for the love of Pete, QJ, please start catching with your hands.
Hey, love you, bye.
All right, what's the game plan? What are we doing? Broncos. I haven't watched any Broncos games, so I don't even know. What are they good at? What are they bad at?
Well, their offense is heating up a little bit right now, and, you know, Mr. Les Ride is being, he's had a great quarterback play so far the last few weeks.
They just lost to the Texans.
And yeah. Russ did throw three picks in this last game, so he had a little bit of a coming back down to earth moment.
That's a good opportunity for this offense to keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we get some great secondary play and we can get a little bit more of that, and then just get the offense rolling. Like, just come out fast in the first quarter and get a touchdown in the first quarter. Like, let's just not waste time. Let's get rid of what just happened in Foxborough and just get on the board.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking through the Broncos schedule. It's all one score under 3 point games. So
there's the opposite of what we're doing, essentially.
But yeah, they're winning those games. They beat the Vikings 21-20. They beat the Bills 24-22. They beat the Packers 19-17. So it's like they're all just these. They lost to the Jets by 10, and they lost to the Dolphins by 50 earlier this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just think that if we come out and play a complete game, we could beat anyone in the NFL. So if we just focus on ourselves and cleaning up all the stupid mistakes, and I really can't say like, do this and you're going to be good, because I don't know what team's going to show up. I don't know what the big glaring fault is going to be. Is it going to be turnovers? Is it going to be drops? Is it going to be personal fouls? It feels like a never ending list. But just come play a clean football game, and you need those clutch moments, those clutch big plays at the end of the game, because it's going to be a one score game.
Yeah, I was just looking up because I was curious. We really haven't seen a lot of the mentioning of Russell Wilson throwing three interceptions. Was like, we haven't really had a lot of interceptions this year. And I just looked it up. We've had 6 this year. And last year, we had 13 for the season. So
he protects the ball, man. It's just we're lucky in that sense. Like, he's not just throwing random picks. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, on the defensive side, we haven't gotten.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Justin.
That's what I mean. No, for the defensive side, like we've only gotten 6 interceptions. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This year, as opposed to last year, we got 13.
That's a horse of a different color.
Yes. No, that's why I was trying to think like, oh, okay, if Russell Wilson's throwing out interceptions, maybe our boys can get some interceptions going on this game.
Well, they come in bunches, clearly, with us. Like, we had like those two games where it was turnover city. So hopefully they can get a train going and start that up again.
There you go. All right. Well, DJ Jones and House of Pain, thank you guys for asking the questions. Moving on now to the K-Man, who asked the question. Many fans wearing rose-colored glasses feel the Chargers will win out the final 5 games. I say that's a pipe dream. What do the 3 of you feel the last 5 games hold for the Bolts? Thanks for answering my loaded question, and I love you all. Boy.
I think that the last 5 games it's all just an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, is it a pipe dream to go 5-0? What would point to us thinking that we're going to go 5-0? Nothing that we've done this year has been consistent enough to win 5 games in a row. It is a pipe dream, but I'm ready to hop on that train. Like, I'm ready to go down
that pipe.
Ready to hit that pipe.
Hit that pipe, dude.
Yeah.
It's just like it's an opportunity. Like, you're going to see if these guys really do like Coach Staley, and they're going to play for him all the way to the end. You're going to see what this team, like, what their makeup really is. It has appeared that they're a team that kind of blows it here when you have the opportunity late in the game and it's a one score game, and it's always just an opportunity to rewrite what people say about you and what the view is of your team. So, I'm just excited for another opportunity every Sunday for us to go out there. And what if we put all 3 phases together in one game? You know, like, it would be such a beautiful, and that's really all I want is one of those.
It's beautiful.
Just give me one running game where the defense passing, plays lights defense, out, the offense is teams. Incredible, and the special teams is just like, I just want one game this year to just see go what on it a could hot have streak, been,
man.
You know? Yeah.
Just be that team that comes out of nowhere, like, whoa, where's this team been all year?
Hey, yo.
Oh, wait.
Well, dude, their backs are against the wall, man. Like, exactly. There's no other way. Nope. So we'll see what kind of team you have when their backs are completely against the wall and there's no room for error.
And these next 2 weeks are in the hunt playoff teams as well.
We have
the Broncos and the Raiders and divisional teams, hated teams. Like,
yeah,
there's a character opportunity here these next 2 weeks.
Big, big games. Really looking forward to it. K-Man, I think, you know, it's not so much what we feel. It's about just that thought of, like, until we're out of the playoffs, I believe these guys can make it. They can absolutely put it together. We've seen them do it before. There's no reason why they shouldn't. It's just a matter of going out there and actually making it happen. You know, this last game was also a game where, like, the worst fear, I think, in every Charger fan's mind that had any experience with the Chargers was like, oh my God, we only have six. All they need to do is get a touchdown and it's done and we're screwed and we're out of it. And that would have been the most Charger thing to happen for that game, but it didn't. So that's the shift. That's the shift.
That's why I like the game ball to Erickson. That's why I like that. It's like reward closing shit out.
Yeah.
You start closing it out and you get a game ball.
Put it away.
Yeah.
Fold it up.
Get that shit out.
Close away.
Yeah.
K-Man, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to, hey, Athir Kadir.
Athir?
What?
He's back.
What? He's back. He wasn't coming back.
Hey, what's up,
baby? Who asked the question? Wolf Dog, my baby! Kevin and Kyle, the coach! I want to start with this, baby! I totally understand the Chargers fans' frustration with the ownership and want them to sell the team, baby! Let me start with this, please! Fans, use some common sense, baby! First, NFL and NFL owners do not like to sell a franchise, baby! Second, you need 65% of the vote from owners to be approved, baby! Last, you have to have a legitimate reason as to why, baby! If Dean and John Spanos go to the NFL and the owners want to sell the franchise and tell them our fans do not want us, they will tell them to get the F out! Kick rocks! We are not doing this, baby! The Washington situation was different. Ask Kevin and Kyle, the coach, if he did not believe Athir, baby. The NFL was forced to protect their brand. Investigation, lawsuits, people getting fired, baby. Not the same. Please, Charger fans, support the ownership and hope for better change in the offseason. Love you, bye, FTR. Wolfdog, Kevin, and Kyle, the coach. Is Athir wrong with what he says, baby?
I love how you're going into the third person, Athir.
That's what he wrote, so baby!
Much. I love it so much. No, you're on. I'd never thought of it in this complexity, but yeah, you're right in a lot of ways if you're hoping for a Spanos change, but I just, you know, I don't think that's happening.
No. I don't think one owner is going to be like, oh no, we can't lose the Spanos as owners. What will happen to the NFL?
They throw such great parties.
Can you imagine the billionaire that's going to take over for whoever buys this team?
Right.
You know, like the Spanos are a dad's great investment is the only reason that they have ownership in the NFL.
Right.
They have no business with money-wise being owners in the NFL. I don't think that there would be any trouble if they wanted to sell the team. They could go in and be like, hey, look at all of our money that we have, like personally, like our businesses, and this is what the NFL, like the value of my team. Yeah, we're going to sell this. And they're going to be like, yeah, you're right. That's probably what's best. they're going to have to approve whoever the new, who you're selling it to.
Right.
You can't just go, oh, I'm selling it to Joe Schmo and they found all this money on the side of the road. No, they're going to approve who the team gets sold to, but I don't think it would be hard. Is it going to happen? No. So I think the same thing stays true that Athir said is we have no like say in who the owner is. We have no chance of changing it. So you can take that mindset of let's just support the ownership. I think it's easier to blame the owners and support the coaches and the players that are actually out there doing it. It makes it easier for me as a fan to just be like, ah, it's just the owners. That's never going to change. Just blame them. You know what? We'll win in spite of them.
There you go.
That's how I choose to see it. But obviously, you can do it however you feel is best for you.
Yes. There you go. Athir Kadir.
And Athir, yes. I'm glad you're still here, baby.
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Baby. Don't leave us, baby.
Yeah.
Baby, stick come around.
Back. He came back. Athir, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. Let's move on out to Daryl 21, who asked the question.
Well, guys, today was one ugly ass win, let me tell you. But a win is a win. On that note, I have a bold prediction. Hoo-ha. Since we won today, 6-0, this is how we finish the last 6 games. 6-0. Come on now. My question this week is twofold. Hoo-ha. One, if there's one player we need to bring back, who is it? My vote, the Mack Truck. Come on, hoo-ha. Number two, are you guys feeling the same way a lot of us are? That Q will get it together, perhaps next season, with a full off season of proper coaching, training, film study, and better offensive play calling? I'm reminded of Jerry Rice. Back in the 80s, dude dropped everything, including the kitchen sink, hoo-ha. In his first season, he turned out pretty good. Not comparing, just saying. Can't wait for Tuesday's episode. I guarantee your episode will be far more entertaining than this game was. Now, let's get next Sunday against the Donkeys in our Royal Blues and continue the win streak. Can't love you, bye. Hoo-ha.
All right.
I love your energy, dude.
Love it.
Loving it.
All right. So, yeah, 6-0. Come on. How foreshadowing would that be?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, any player we need to bring back, he's voting for Khalil Mack. What say you, boys?
Yeah, he's not slowing down. The two old guys on the team are not slowing down whatsoever.
But both of those guys are still under contract next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be, it'd be like an extending them, and I would definitely, because that saves you money. That could save you money as well. You move.
Yeah, restructure, down, so. Extend, all that good stuff for sure.
Yeah, when Mack is about, he's leading the league in sacks at 31 or 32, whatever he is right now. It's not slowing down clearly. And he's sturdy and reliable, and he's playing in every single game.
Right.
So do it. That's an easy investment, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, looking at guys that are actually due to leave us next year, I think really the only two names that jump out to me are Alohi Gilman and Cameron Dicker.
And Dicker's kind of foregone conclusion. That's just going to happen.
That's our kicker for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's absolutely earned it.
Yeah.
But everyone else, there's like a big list. You want to read off some of those names?
There's a lot.
It's like half the team.
It really is a lot.
But if you read through the names, like just think of a guy that like I have to have him. So do you want to run it?
So we've got Michael Davis, Austin Eckler, Austin Johnson, Kenneth Murray, Gerald Everett, Josh Kelly, Jalen Hawkins, Alohi Gilman, Ogbong Bamiga, Easton Stick, Raheem Lane, Foster Sorrell, Jalen Guyton, Nick Williams, Will Clapp, Justin Hollins, Dean Marlowe, Tanner Muse, Sang Bassey, Blake Lynch, and Cameron Dicker.
How are we $37 million over the cap?
Because we have like 10 players with all the money.
Jeez.
Yeah, because like
we went just all in on some of these big name players.
That's just not the play. I don't want like 7 A-pluses and then the rest are C's.
Yeah.
Just give me like 2 A's and then a B team. And I think you could win a lot of football games.
Right.
Yeah. Because
when one guy gets hurt, you're so screwed.
Because you listen to that list, it is not like screaming out. Like maybe last year, you're like, oh, we got to bring Austin back if we can. Like, but this year, it's totally different. Different offensive coordinator. He just looks like a different freaking player.
Right.
So it's interesting. Those are the guys that are really coming up for contracts that aren't under it. And
I'd like Alohi back.
I want Alohi and Dicker for sure. Yeah. Those are the guys I am like confident I want back.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about money being tied up. Joey Bosa had that 5-year, $135 million contract, and Mike Williams, 3-year, $60 million contract. Those are.
I'm keeping Mike Williams. Bosa or Williams, I'm staying with Williams. 100% staying with Williams.
So it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be a busy offseason.
It's going to be a wild offseason. Yeah.
Offseason for sure.
Excuse me.
But yeah. Daryl, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. And next we've got BC Bolt Fan who asked the question.
Hello, Charger chat. Well, that last win may have been as ugly as my ex-girlfriend in the morning. A win is still a win. Do any of you also spend hours on the ESPN playoff machine seeing ways the Chargers can make the playoffs? Oh, boy. It's the best way for me to kill time at work. I still believe in this team. Oh,
I did play with it a little bit. It's way more fun than like back in the day when you used to use like the newspaper and like there was like
that
was
newspaper.
That, Yeah, like you'd go. I remember my dad vividly. We went to OG's one year and he had the newspaper out with like the breakdown of each division. And we were like trying to figure out who was playing who and what we needed to happen. And he had like a pencil and he was writing on the paper.
Oh, geez.
It's a lot better with this little projector thing for sure. But, you know, that was when I was a lot younger. But it is, those things are pretty freaking cool. If you have some spare time, go hit that up for sure. Give you a better idea of who you need to win and lose every week. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, the rooting against teams has definitely commenced.
It's a big deal. Did we find out what happened with Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincy won.
Ah, shit. Right,
yeah, I'd be curious what our playoff percentage is now, because I know last week it was 12%.
That affects it. You could plug it in right now.
Somebody plug it in. Put it in the comments down below.
Let's go.
So, BC Bolt fan, thank you for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bolt fan with Big Red Bolts fan, who asked the question. Who beest behind this team's state of Malinga? He who's known in the Game of Thrones as Little Finger, or the one whose reputation calls them the Boredom Bringer? Wait, does Drew Tranquil have a stinger? Nay, 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 you cocker slinger. As I've stated in a voice not unlike or unlike Klinger, this win that counts yet is still no joy bringer. Seriously, refs, that hit his finger. Is still a W, says they, ye of undisclosed body mass singer. I know, this week a question of which I am a bringer. Can we beat the donkeys? Fuck yes! And to ye old Raiders and their fans, a big middle finger. K, love you, bye. And does anyone still watch Jerry Springer?
He is Big Red Bolts fan. He's just coming with the
found scripts. His groove.
That's dude. A talent.
Found yeah. his niche.
You keep these up.
If you can.
Because
I try to be creative with commercials every week for 300 weeks now. And I'm running on empty, buddy. So if you can keep this train going, do it. Because that's a lot of fun. Yeah, that was the other thing we didn't talk about. That stupid
the tip ball.
Pass interference, a tip ball that everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's there. It's clear.
They brought on the expert.
It was a good call.
Good call.
Yeah, and they're like, wait, no. Wait, the call was bad. Like,
the penalty
they
said stood.
And he's like, oh.
I think I hear my phone ringing.
I just feel like they didn't look at all the angles with that, which is absolutely clearly insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a bit of a bust. But
yeah. That was an interesting. I didn't know that you could, because you can't, you know, challenge a penalty, but you could charge a play that could eliminate a penalty.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. I'd never considered that.
Well, and this is if you look at Staley, this is the head coaching stuff you want. This is not what we got with Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, that was a great challenge.
Not using our timeouts, even though it didn't go our way, it should have gone our way.
It should.
So he does offer, like, he is a sophisticated, smart guy in that respect of like the flow of the game and trying to give your team the best chance to win.
Game management for the most part is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was something I saw. Oh, we got to talk about it. It's just ridiculous. Patrick Mahomes is. Did you guys see the hit?
I did. Yes,
he was a runner, dude.
Joke, dude. He was trying to get more yards. Like,
yeah,
he was going forwards. He just got lit up.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it's a penalty because you get lit up.
Yeah,
like that was. I was so happy when he got hit. I was so happy. I don't want anyone to get hurt, and he didn't get hurt.
Yes.
He deserved to get a little wake-up call of, dude, you can't just steal extra yards in the NFL.
Yeah,
get out of bounds 2 yards before that, or you're going to get hit.
Right.
And that was not even close to a penalty. I'm still shocked that the guy for the Ravens didn't get fined by the NFL.
Yeah.
Because that was like 2-3 steps out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he lit Justin up pretty good.
But, agreed.
That was just, oh, man, that was yucky. I was livid.
Get a lot of those. But the... I will say that there were a couple plays at the end of that game. If you watch that Packers,
they got every call wrong for the Chiefs, for the Packers. It was just like
usually the Chiefs win that game because they call an interference PI, on one of those. Cause that's what the Chiefs do. They'll throw the deep ball hoping for a PI and they always get it. So the fact that they didn't let him have it, just a freebie. I was actually pretty proud of that. And
that officiating crew was god awful. They missed every call at the end there.
Yeah.
But that one was really, really, really bad. And it wasn't the same crew, I don't think, but just like our personal experience of seeing Justin get hit late and then seeing that one, it's like, that's not even close.
Right. That's the inconsistency with officiating. Yeah. It's been nice to see actually on Twitter, some people posting the videos like side by side. Yeah, to show like
blatant ridiculous
how different they are, and one gets a flag and one doesn't. So, but that's not the question. The question is, can we beat the donkeys?
Duh.
Yes. Let's ride.
There you go. You have your answer.
Yeah, dude, we've been in every game with the best teams. We almost beat the Ravens. We almost did every game we've been in. We could have won every single freaking game.
Yeah.
So we are consistent in that respect. We are in every single game.
Yep.
So this will be a game. Hopefully it turns out and finish Eric, you know, Erickson closes it out for us again. Get him another game ball. I don't care how it happens. Just win the game.
Play Erickson.
Just want these Royal Blues.
Royal.
Come on, baby.
I know. Seriously.
We should win just because of the Royal Blues. But yes, a dub is coming in hot and heavy there. Big Red Bolts fan. Thank you for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions in Ask Bolt Fan. That's not sarcastic. I truly mean it.
It's true.
Thank you. You guys make the show what it is. But that is going to do it for this episode of Charger Chat. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
Want to apologize. We didn't talk about it. The instant reaction. We were out of control. I just got done with the wedding and I was driving home and my vehicle is loud as shit. It was like the perfect storm.
The timing did not work.
It was the perfect storm of, you know, Adam could have just hopped on and just gave you his thoughts. Maybe that's the move going forward.
Yeah,
we'll just do it.
It's me, Wolldog, everybody. Wasn't that a good game? All right, see you tomorrow.
It's a reaction. But we apologize. We had so many people reach out like, where's the instant reaction? Where was it? So we are very sorry.
We'll get it. Probably won't happen again.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sarcasm.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. That's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
See you. Love you. Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Are you tired of the incessant negativity surrounding your life? Are your Victory Mondays dampened by those around you? Are you looking to ride into Sunday with some peace and positivity? Staley Whaley's earplugs will drown out the downers, silence the screamers, and supercharger your Sundays.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.